In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, good morning. Beautiful day. In this season of Advent, this time of preparation, we are seeking to make space within ourselves, within our hearts, in the depths of our souls for this presence of God. And as you know, we are looking back at the time in which God broke in as the Christ child and looking forward to the time when he will return. And so in the midst of that, perhaps it might be helpful if we had some clue, what do we do in between this time? So in my mind and in my world, as I'm reading through this letter that Paul has written to the church in Philippi, I'm hearing him say, here are some of the things I see you doing. Here is what we are called to do, and I'm grateful, and now we need to find the strength to keep doing them. So he is writing this letter. He starts with just two verses of greeting, which is pretty limited for Paul. He usually has a few more words than that. We pick up in verse 3, but he's writing this to the church in Philippi, and at that time that this letter was believed to be written, that particular city would have looked very Roman, very engaged in the Roman traditions and society and social aspects of being in Rome. In fact, some would say it was a smaller transplant of Rome itself. So part of that function of that society included sort of this syncretism around the concept of faith, meaning, which I, the way I prefer to put it, they were very likely to be making mud with their faith. What that meant is they may decide, oh, I like this Roman god and I like this pagan god, or maybe a little touch of this little bit of this Jewish thing that I've heard of, and they say, well, I'm going to take the pieces I like and just sort of create my own understanding. That would have been sort of a norm for people to do there. To be claiming one particular faith or one particular seeing, you know, either even the emperor as God, but then also claiming other gods. So this wasn't, I say this so you understand, the church in Philippi was not the center of society. Sound familiar? There were people looking at other things that were much more important than this Jesus. Still sounds a little familiar. To them, much more important than Jesus. They were following ways that were ancient and yet strangely wrong for a Christian. Still sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? So, when we think of what the church could be, should be, and undoubtedly will be doing in this time, we don't want to hear something from Paul and say, well, that was different then. And it was, actually. It was much more difficult then than it is now for the church to be the church. So Paul, on that note, is very excited about what he's seeing happening in Philippi. I thank God every time I remember you. Constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. He's grateful that the church in Philippi is doing that which the church should be doing, and he's praying for them. That's his prayer, that because they are doing what? Sharing in the gospel. They're living in it. They're living this truth of Jesus Christ. And we hear as he continues in this prayer, his words become very foundational, which is not unusual for Paul this early in a letter, to start clarifying or re-clarifying the concept of what the church is and the reason the church is. So we see that still as he continues. We can pick it up at verse 6. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. The one who began it, God, will bring it to fruition, God, in the day of Jesus Christ, when God does what? returns. So all that the church does can only be done by the power of what? By the power of God. The very Spirit of God which dwells within us. So that's a good reminder as we go forward. What should we be doing? And am I capable of it? The answer to the question is, you are not. But He is. He will bring it to completion. Paul says it's right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Each of you share with me. Good words for the church in Philippi. Good words for the church today. Amen. We share in this work. We are called to this work. The question is, are we hearing again today the very encouragement and foundational understanding that Paul is giving back to the church in Philippi? And I hope you are, because the work we have to do is difficult, and the work that we have to do can be dangerous to us, to our spirituality. We can be easily distracted, amen? We can easily look at the weather today and say, I'll go to church next week, right? Not you all, of course. You know, that's kind of the big joke, you know, I don't know if you've heard it, going a little off script. You got the three ministers, you got the Episcopalian, you got the Baptist, and you got the Methodist. And they're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I got these squirrels running around in the attic, which strangely we do here too, not in this building. And they don't know how to get rid of them. The Episcopalian says it's easy. Confirm them. Then it's the other joke. Takes a little bit of splash of water to get them into church and two drops to keep them out. But you're here because you want to be here, because I suspect God's called you to be here. This is the place He needs us to be, because we need to be reminded, just like the church in Philippi was being reminded by Paul, your work is the gospel, your strength is God. We need to hear that, because we'll run out there on our own strength, won't we? We'll get out there and start doing things thinking it's to the glory of God, and then suddenly we run out of steam, and then we discover maybe what I was doing didn't have enough of God in it. Because if I did, why did I come apart? This past Saturday, all so long ago, what was that, yesterday? Phew. That's what happens when you make me work. We had the opportunity, and I'm sure you all are well aware of this, that we partner and are partnering more with Dover Elementary. So there were a few of us over there yesterday, helping with little odds and ends, putting shelving together, working on a garden, doing a lot of pressure washing, you know, clean up. And I was sitting down with one of our parishioners, taking a little break. He was working harder than I was. At least he looked like he worked a lot harder than I did. And there was another man there working on this garden who works at the school all week long. And as we're sitting there, we're recognizing Dover Elementary does not look like the elementary school in my neighborhood. That is not a good thing. Dover Elementary, quite frankly, looks like a mess. This is a school that is in Hillsborough County Schools, just like every other Hillsborough County school. And yet, it looks like it doesn't even belong in our community because of the way in which it's cared for or not cared for, not the fault of the people at the school, but the fault of our society. So many of us feel called to continually press into that school over at Dover, to step in wherever we can, to encourage these young people, to get every opportunity available to them, the same opportunities available to you and I. and we want to make sure that they have access. And so myself and another member of this parish were sitting there having this sort of conversation. And as we're looking at the gentleman that's working in the garden, I thought, you know, many people this day and age would be more apt to look at this person by the way in which he moves and a few other things, and they would have initially taken him and shoved him into a corner and said, he's this kind of person that would never do anything to help a fly. And yet there he is, working with this garden. Not just so the kids will have a nice thing to see. We're not talking about a butterfly garden like my kids had at their elementary school, which was a lot of fun. No, we're talking about a garden that will grow vegetables, that will go on the table of the families whose children attend the school. And here this man is. Would never be expected. And the person I'm sitting with goes, well, look at him out there working hard to the glory of, well, whatever. And I thought to myself at that moment, yeah, I wonder what that is. Why is he here? What's he doing? I mean, he's here all week. And he comes over by us, because at that point, I don't think either one of us was going to stand up anytime soon. And the, I was pulling a lot of weeds. Oh. It was a lot easier when I didn't carry this counterweight around. But the he comes over near us, and we engage him in conversation. And he goes, well, where do you belong? And I, of course, had on my brown Holy Innocence shirt, which Susan and I joke about, what can brown do for you? So I had that on, and I said, well, I'm from here. And the parishioner goes, he's actually our minister. And the gentleman goes, immediately informs us that he's been going to the same Baptist church in that community since he was a child, where he was born and raised, by the way, in that community. And just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to growing vegetables, by the way. He goes, no, I've been going there my whole life. He said, you know, if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. And I went, perfect. Perfect. So we knew at that moment that he was there to give glory to God, amen? We knew that's what was moving him and motivating him to care for others. He certainly could have been doing other things, but that's what he was there doing. And just because that popped right out of him, we knew at a moment, just at that very moment, that he was there to give glory to God. And he also shared with us where he finds his strength when he informed us his connection to his faith community. He finds strength there. And we have to hear, as Paul goes on, what he's saying to the church. He starts at verse 9. He has yet another prayer. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And for what reason? For the glory and praise of God. Now, here we are, Advent. Here we are, this life, period. We are between the resurrection and the return, and we have things to do. Two things: to be pure and blameless. So when we are moving through our lives, this life, in our faith, we are to be looking into ourselves. In this time of Advent, this time of preparation, we are to look into ourselves. What within me may be out of alignment with God's will? Are there things I should repent for? Seek God's forgiveness and repent. Move these things out of my life, so that I can make more room for God to dwell in me, so that he can flow through me. See, that overflowing love that Paul speaks of isn't ours. It's the love of God. And the more we receive, the more we can pour out on others. That's part of our process. Now, to remain blameless, I hear that slightly differently than maybe some other people do. I hear it just a little differently. Blameless means if it's my responsibility, did I do it? Or if I didn't do it and what God intended to come to fruition through my obedience, if I was disobedient, is it my fault that it didn't happen? If I didn't respond when God called, am I blameless? That's a little harder. See, because we've been trained to come and receive. When we're running low, we come and get built up. Amen? When we're running out of gas, we come and get filled up. We go to church. People say it all the time. I like to go to church. I need to go to a church where I can be fed. Oh, my goodness. Brothers and sisters, if you need to be fed, by all means, come to me. Let me help you. But look around you. Look at your life. Look at who we are as our example. Brothers and sisters, who do we feed? Others, babies. Babies need to be fed. If they could speak, they say, hey, I need to be fed, but they don't. What do? They cry. And we go, oh my gosh, what do you need? And we try to get whatever they need. And we go, oh, we check the clock. Oh, maybe it's time to feed them. Now, I agree, we should be spiritually connected to our faith community, but we are not going to survive on milk. We need solid food, amen? Now, we can go somewhere to be fed and get something from it and head out. And we'll probably make it to about Wednesday, maybe Thursday morning, amen? And then we're just going to run out. Or we can come and dig in. And we can truly grow up in our faith to a level in which we are receiving such a great abundance of the love of God, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, that it does what? It overflows, right? Right? Oh, okay. But think about it. Let me put it to you this way, because I hear things a little differently. Yeah, I'm not a scholar. You probably figured that out. But I hear this love that would just overflow. And I'm thinking to myself, it's got to get on to somebody. This love has got to overflow from you onto somebody else. And if you're only going to get enough for you, there won't be enough to overflow, will there? Now, so here's the tricky part. We think that when we're receiving the love, the grace, and mercy of God, it feels wonderful. Sometimes I think we forget. We have to actually go through a little something to get to the feeling wonderful. Because sometimes it doesn't immediately feel wonderful. Sometimes it feels like, oh, I don't know, being purified so that I can be blameless. The early service, I kind of equated it to putting gas in the car. You know, if you're running low spiritually, you know where to go, right? I hope. Where do you go? Here, come to church. We literally feed on it, don't we? Right here at this table. I like to run around with my truck near empty. I don't know why. I guess because I just don't like to go to the gas station. And there's times that, you know, I roll in there, things beeping and carrying on. The stupid thing comes up. I have to finally go fill it up because it just keeps showing up on the dashboard, you know. You're going to run out of gas, stupid. Go put the gas in the truck. And I pull in there, and what I'm shocked about is sometimes I thought I knew how big the gas tank was. And there's times I'm pretty sure I put more gas in there than that tank was supposed to hold. It didn't overflow, by the way. So sometimes I think we see our faith that way, and that's why we think about, well, I need to go someplace where I can be fed. No. We need someplace where we can be filled to overflowing. We then need to actually be willing to be filled to overflowing. We need to not be running around on fumes, we need to be running on a full tank. And sometimes I get lazy. You know, when I mow the grass, I get kind of lazy about that. I won't even start mowing the grass until I know that tank's full, because I don't want to run out in the backyard and have to walk all the way to the front yard to get the gas tank, to put gas in it. So I'm just being lazy. So I just say, you know, sometimes if I can get there Sunday, then maybe I can pop in on Wednesday, and then I'll do some work on Friday or Saturday related to our outreach, and then I can make it to Sunday. You know, and we're almost sort of white knuckling by our faith, right? If I could just get through. And sometimes it's like that. But it can't always be that way, because we are to overflow. If we don't get beyond enough for ourselves, we won't have enough to give. And when we go out to do God's work and His will without enough to give, that wasn't ours to begin with, we will then find ourselves facing what we like to call burnout. If you are burning out in your work for God, the thing that is missing from your work for God is God. All of us will find a time when we do that, by the way. Don't panic. Lean in. It actually does work when you lean into God. I don't care what Michelle Obama says about the other thing. Lean in to God, because He is our strength. Paul's reminding us of that. It is to His purpose we work. It is by His strength that we work, and it is to His glory that we work. Always. Paul reminds the church in Philippi about that today. I hope he's reminding us here at Holy Innocence today the same thing. And if all of that didn't make a lot of sense to you, met this wonderful man, simple, hard-working guy yesterday, and he just says this: if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. Amen.